There's about 14,000 nuclear weapons and nuclear warheads in the world, according to the Stockholm Institute for Peace. But even just a few of those could destroy the world as we know it. In Japan at the weekend, Pope Francis changed the teaching of the Church, and he hopes the thinking of leaders whose nations have nuclear weapons. Francis was visiting Nagasaki, the city where the Allies dropped the second nuclear bomb in 1945, ending World War II. Dr. Gwyn McClelland is a historian at Monash University and author of the new book Dangerous Memory in Nagasaki. He was in Japan as the Pope visited and heard his comments about nuclear weapons.
He said that they should be completely banned, and so that was quite an important statement, I think, from the point of view of the survivors here in Nagasaki.
And of course, his comments contrast sharply with those of the previous Pope, John Paul II, who also visited Hiroshima. How do they differ? Mm-hmm. Because it's an important distinction.
I know that in 1982, that Pope John Paul II, certainly at the United Nations, was talking about nuclear weapons and suggesting that, yes, they're a deterrent and that that is a necessary evil in a way at this stage. He is remembered for something that he said at Hiroshima, in particular in Japan as well, which kind of contrasts with those comments at the United Nations. So there's a little bit of ambivalence about that, I guess. And that was, war is the work of humanity, which was significant for the survivors here as well.
Pope Francis's critique of nuclear weapons mm-hmm. appears to be part of a much mm-hmm. broader critique that he's made of the armaments industry, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, I believe as an Argentinian himself that he also has a critique on violence, and I think that that possibly arises out of that context as well, but certainly he critiques the violence of war, and this is a part of that, I think.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out where he said, quote, "Our world is marked by a perverse dichotomy that tries to defend and ensure stability and peace through a mm-hmm. false sense of security sustained by a mentality of fear and distrust." I mean, this is a very timely warning, because I think we're seeing nuclear treaties that we thought were locked in being tested now by various countries, including the US.
That's true, and certainly voices who appear to be supporting nuclear deterrence, including in Australia, Hugh White, weighing in on the possibility of Australia needing to think about whether we need to have our own nuclear weapons, which was certainly interesting from an Australian viewpoint.
Now, Gwyn, as part of the research for your new book, Dangerous Memory in Nagasaki, you interviewed a number of survivors of the attack on Nagasaki. These were primarily Catholics, as I understand. What has been the Catholic thinking about the attack on Nagasaki? Because it's a pretty unusual and almost extraordinary understanding that they had.
And in some sense, it probably relates to what you said about the change in the global church's understanding of nuclear and atomic issues. I mean, 8,500 out of 12,000 Catholics were killed initially, which is more than 70%. For a start, they were an incredibly fractured community. There was very little left in the neighbourhoods. There was basically, the families were completely broken up. So most of the Catholic survivors who I spoke to were either the only survivor of their family or had very few in their family survive. So you can imagine they took a long time to try to put back the pieces after that. But there was a theology which was understood at the time, which was kind of the idea that the bomb might have been a part of God's plan. To understand why that might have been the case, there were certainly people in Nagasaki city region, which wasn't as badly damaged as the area where the Catholics lived in the north, who said that, well, this was because you people worshipped an enemy god. So this was kind of a punishment.
So some Catholics thought this was God's divine will that they suffer this nuclear attack. And other Japanese thought that mm-hmm. this was what the Catholics deserved because they were heathens.
That's true. And it wasn't all of the Nagasaki city citizens by any means, but a few people making some comments soon after the bombing. In the early days after the bombing, some of the Catholics themselves thought, well, maybe this was punishment on us. But there was a doctor called Nagai Takashi who actually formulated this idea that maybe this was actually a burnt sacrifice offering to God, which is going to end all the wars. For the Catholics, this was a way of understanding the victims as having been innocent, but it also meant that they didn't want to immediately speak about what had happened, because if God had allowed this to happen, then how could they protest?
And what is the significance of Nagasaki to international Catholicism?
This is that place which was donated by a local daimyo, Omura, to the Jesuits, in fact, who were arriving here to be missionaries. And so the Jesuits settled the city and made their churches in lots of different places. And then other Catholic orders came along as well. So that was the early settlement of the city. But as time went on, the shogun decided that this was not to be, and that Christianity was not to be trusted. And part of that was kind of a fear of invasion of the foreigners in the future. So that's what happened.
I believe it was known as the Rome of Japan for its intense Catholicism there.
Yeah, from that early period in the late 1500s, it was called the Rome of Japan. And there was a Christian history followed by 250 years where there was persecution, and then the re-emergence of some communities who had kept some semblance of Christian faith, or at least some syncretistic faith, over that period of time.
Along with condemning the use of all nuclear weapons, I believe that Pope Francis has actually developed a theology around the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What's that?
He has referred to those who died in the atomic bombing as linked to the martyrdoms of Nagasaki over the years. So, you know, in 1597, there's a famous martyrdom of 27 who were trooped down from Kyoto in the snow. And the bombing ended up being in a similar area and up to the north. So I guess there's a linkage as well to the Christians' understanding of themselves as this kind of being a fifth persecution, where they remember four persecutions before this through the 1700s, 1800s, and then this could be seen as the fifth persecution. But of course, this one was an American persecution.
Gwyn McClelland of Monash University, author of Dangerous Memory and Nagasaki, and you're with Andrew West.